Hey, it's NPR's Book of the Day. I'm Andrew Limbong. It is both inspiring and a little scary how well humans can adapt to horrible conditions, particularly children. Leo Vardiashvili left his home country of Georgia as it was undergoing a civil war, but not before he and his buddies invented a game that involved collecting shell casings on their way home from school. The main character in his debut novel leads a similar life. The book is titled Hard by a Great Forest, and Vardiashvili spoke to NPR's Scott Simon about it and about how Georgians tend to laugh at adversity because they have to. That's after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. On The Sympathizer podcast, host Philip Nguyen joins the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen to discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Leo Vardiashvili's new novel is about a family that's trying to find themselves again through the thick forests of lost history and, yes, fearsome woods. Saba and Sandro come to London with their father, Irakli, in 1992 as civil war breaks out in Georgia after the fall of the Soviet Union. The author sets the scene from the very first.
Where's Eka? We must have asked 1,000 times. Our mother stayed so that we could escape. You see, war trumps most things. You'll find that a volley of AK-47 rounds fired right down your street will override almost any other concern. We heard gunfire by night and saw brass twinkling on the pavement in the morning, as though it had rained shell casings all over Tbilisi. Sounds manageable so far, but when a stray tank shell breaks the sound barrier by your bedroom window, screams on and deletes the corner grocery shop and the entire family living above it, you will begin to make plans.
That is Leo Vardiashvili, whose family came to London when he was 12. His novel is Hard by a Great Forest. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Scott. It's a pleasure.
Fair to say a lot of your own experience wound into this novel, isn't it?
It's very fair to say, yes. I'm similar to the main character in that I left Georgia not as early. I actually stayed there through the Civil War, but we left in 95 and came to the UK as refugees. And the main character was in the same situation, going back to Georgia. Mm-hmm. He went back reluctantly. I went back willingly. And I didn't have to contend with the escaped zoo animals and so on that go on in the novel.
Well, I want to ask about that and so much else. We also want to make plain your mother was able to come, unlike the mother in this novel, but your grandmother couldn't, right?
My grandmother I never got to see again. We exchanged letters, obviously. And back then we used to do this thing where we would send tapes, voice recordings, rather than letters. But I never really got to see her again, and that was quite upsetting. It's one of those things that sticks around as an effect of war once the cameras and the reporters have left. It's the stuff that you don't really see.
Yeah. And may I ask you about that time in your life? Because I've read a piece you wrote that you had a game with shell casings.
I did, yes. I don't remember the Civil War badly. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I was 12. So I was still a kid, and the shell casings game was simply us collecting shell casings on the way to school and then comparing them and arguing over who had the best one. But that's children for you. I guess they don't always see the seriousness of what's going on.
In your novel, Hard by a Great Forest, as we said, the mother dies and the father years later decides to return to Georgia. But then the sons get a message. It's pretty blunt, isn't it?
It is, and it sets up the central mystery. So the message is essentially, do not follow me. I've left a trail that I can't erase. Do not follow me. So, of course, in the traditional kind of mystery style, they ignore his instructions and follow him. So it's the oldest son that goes and follows him first and finds this trail. And surprise, surprise, he disappears also. So it's up to Saba, who's the youngest son. He's essentially alone in the world at this point, no other family. So he has no choice but to go back to Georgia and find this breadcrumb trail and try and find his father and brother.
And tell us about the wild animals that run through the story.
It's the strangest element in the book, I think, But it's actually, it really did happen. In 2015, there was a flash flooding in Tbilisi, and the zoo happens to be along the river. Therefore, all the fences were washed away, and literally the entire zoo got emptied into the city. So a lot of the details of the hippo, the wolves running around Tbilisi, and the scary Bengal tiger, which makes an appearance in the novel. I won't spoil anything there, but that all really did happen. So when I saw that article on the BBC, I think it was, I thought, this is too good to pass up. I have to include this.
Are we right to see it as a metaphor as well?
Someone pointed this out to me recently that I hadn't picked up on it, even though I wrote the damn book myself. But the animals are themselves refugees. So they've been freed from their home. They've escaped their home, and they find themselves in alien surroundings trying to make their way through this city, which kind of reflects the themes of the novel, doesn't it?
Yeah. Tell us about your trip back to Georgia. It sounds extraordinary.
My first trip, it was like time traveling. We got on the plane. I was fine. I got off the plane and I time traveled into my childhood. I didn't realize how much of Tbilisi and my neighborhood I would actually recognize. I kind of thought I'd go into it like a blank slate and it would all be new to me, but surprisingly, I remembered almost everything, and that freaked me out a little bit, to be honest. And that was the inception of me starting to write this novel, is trying to make sense of it, even just to myself.
What about your bus trip, or should I say lack of a bus trip one day?
Oh, the lack of the bus trip. It's a perfect summary of Georgian hospitality, which if you look at travel guides for Georgia, they always mention the hospitality of the people of Georgia. But essentially, I was just outside of Tbilisi in a tiny village, and the last bus just didn't turn up. These things happen in Georgia sometimes. But I was stuck in a village that had maybe 10 homesteads or houses on it. The hike into Tbilisi would have been a few hours. I was kind of stuck, and a farmer came across me on the way home, I suppose, and he kind of went, there's no bus, mate, until 6:30 tomorrow. And then just casually motioned me to come with him, as though that was a normal, acceptable thing. And I did go along with him, and I stayed at his house. What I didn't realize is they literally offered me their best food and put me up in this room, which was heated. And I didn't realize that the rest of the house wasn't heated. So they treated me like some kind of royalty, which is a very Georgian thing to do. A guest is a gift from God. That's the proverb that gets mentioned a lot in the novel, and people really do live by that.
Yeah. What do you wish the West would understand about Georgia and Georgians? Stories like that?
Stories like that, yes, for sure. Just the Georgian mentality of smiling in the face of adversity. I think that's very key, especially these days. There is a saying in Georgian that if you can still laugh at a situation or a hardship, it hasn't beaten you yet. And as soon as you stop laughing, then you might be in trouble. So that I love that about the Georgian people, that they will take the darkest situation and make a joke and have you falling out of your chair laughing at it.
Leo Vardashvili, his novel, Hard by a Great Forest. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit leesa.com to learn more. That's leesa.com.